Come among us, Jesus. You whom the angels worship and children welcome. Come, Jesus, and meet us here. Come among us, Jesus. You who hurled the stars into space and shaped the spider's weaving. Come, Jesus, and meet us here. Come among us, Jesus, you who walked the long road to Bethlehem and lit a flame that dances forever. Come, Jesus, and meet us here. Let us worship God, let us sing to God's praise and glory. In the hymn number 277, Hark the Glad Sound, the Saviour Comes. Morning, guys. It's really nice to be here with you. It's always exciting to meet new people this early on a Sunday morning. It's great. I wonder if two of you might come and help me, because I'm very, very bad at lighting candles. I've never been good at that, but are you good at that? Fantastic. Well, you two come out then. That's great. Oh, three of you. Good. That's terrific. Three of us. Now, if only it was the third Sunday in Advent, that would be just perfect. But we can work this out. So do you want to hang on to that a wee minute? I'll see if I can light this. So now, what can anyone remember what Sunday it is in Advent? Is it the first Sunday in Advent?
No.
Second.
Oh, great. You didn't need any help at all. Now let's see. That's great. Now hang on a wee minute. Hang on. That's great. Now, do you want to maybe do this one here? Great. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, okay. And then, why don't I ask you to do the next one? Okay, and you could maybe put your hand on her hand there, see? No, you. Can you do that? There you are, you're both doing it. Round here, come on around the back. Oh, great. Yeah, nearly, that's brilliant. Great. Now. Do you want to all turn around and look at the congregation for a minute and blow this out? Right. Let's say a wee prayer just before you go down there. Let us pray. Little baby God, gentle Jesus, thank you for coming among us again. Help us to wait for you with anticipation and joy. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can go and sit down now. That's just great. I need some more help now, or I will do in a minute, because it's the second Sunday in Advent, and we came from, I don't live in Aberdeen, I live in Cromarty in the Black Isle, millions of miles away from here. And we came from there yesterday, and there was a lot of snow, and then here we are this morning, lots of snow. Hands up if you like the snow. Excellent. What do you like to do in the snow?
Have a snowball fight.
Good, yes. What else?
Make a snowman.
Is that what you said? Make a snow angel. I'm sorry, yes. And anything else you might like to wear?
Rub snow in your brother's face.
Rub snow in your brother's face. That's very nice, yeah. Yeah. Well,
Get in a wheelbarrow and be shoved out on the snow.
Get in a wheelbarrow and be shoved out in the snow. Does anyone like building a snowman as well as a snow angel? Well, that's good. Well, how do you build a snowman? I've kind of forgotten, I think. Yeah.
You get a little snowball and keep on rolling it. And when it's big enough, you put it on the ground and then you make one smaller, then smaller. And then put eyes and nose and the mouth on it.
Fantastic. Yes, that's what I think too. So, what I need is, I need two people to come out and help me with this first thing. Okay, you, yes. You'll have to leave your rug behind, yeah. And maybe you, yeah, out you come. Good. What are your names?
Sarah.
Rosie, great. Do you want to stand on either side of me here? So, I've got a nice, easy job for you, because I want you just to keep in your head snowmen, okay, and how you build a snowman. So, I want you both to go out and find somebody and bring them up here. Okay, you're very powerful today. I have sent you out, so you can go and get whoever you like. Okay, right, off you go. Go and just bring somebody here. One each, you know. And just as quickly as you like. Good, yes. Excellent. Good. Yes. Very good. Oh, it's feeling a wee bit more kind of friendly up here now. Isn't it good to be at the front? Yes. So, when you're building a snowman, you start with little bits of snow and a wee ball, and then, you know, it gets a wee bit bigger. So, guess what I want you to do now?
What?
Well, I'll tell you. I want the four of you to go out and see if you can find somebody and just bring somebody back here, see what happens, see how our wee snowman is as we build it. So off you go, don't just stand about here. Come on. Good. Off you go. Quickly as you can. Good. Good. Very good. Good. Great. That's really good. It's great to see you. Now, that's looking like a much bigger bit of snow, you know. It's not so small as it was when we started. Guess what I want you to do? Right, hurry along then. Go and get a person, each one of you. You've got to do it quickly, more quickly each time. Good. Come out. And you don't need to stand in a line. You can kind of stand around me or anything you like. Good. Well done. Bet you weren't expecting this, eh? Me neither. Okay. Good. That's great. Out you come. Excellent. Very good. Now, you'll be beginning to catch on to this, I think. So, what do you think I'm going to say this time?
Get another person.
That's right. Off you go then, all of you go. Soon be nobody left. Yes, go and get another person. That's great. That's good. Suddenly I don't feel so lonely out here. This is great. All right, so well done, guys. Thank you for cooperating and coming up here. So we've demonstrated to everybody here how you make a snowman. You start from that wee thing. But you know, there's a really interesting thing, because it's kind of like how you build a church. How do you think you build a church? What do you need when you're going to build a church?
Bricks.
Bricks, uh-huh. What else?
Cement.
Cement, uh-huh.
A bell.
A bell, yeah.
Blocks.
Do you need people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you do. You need people, otherwise it's very, very quiet in a church. And you today have helped everybody in the congregation to just remember that, how you build a church. It's really not that hard. You just go out, you find people, and you say, come and join us, and they come. Thanks for helping everybody to understand that. Off you go then, you can all go. And don't bring anybody back now. No. We've got enough people. Thanks for helping me. They told me you were going to be great, and they were absolutely right. We're going to sing a Christmas carol. It's number 302. It was on a starry night. Prayer of adoration and confession. Let us pray. Advent God, we confess that you are a puzzle to your human creatures. We can almost cope with the vastness of the universe, We can understand that you are too dazzling for us to see. But a newborn baby in a byre is not our idea of a God. We confess to being puzzled. Companion God, we feel for Mary. We put ourselves in her shoes and we shiver. We remember her first reaction was to be deeply troubled. We too know that feeling. We have been there too. Our hearts go out to Mary. Earthy God, you know what ordinary people are capable of. You inspire us, and we can overcome our fears. When the news we hear today tells us about war and the rumors of war, about hunger and poverty, help us not to turn away because so much is unsettling. Surprising God, we think of moments that have changed our lives. The unexpected phone call, the letter after all these years, the chance reunion in the street, the positive pregnancy test at last. Help us to expect the unexpected. Advent God, we are immune to the shock of Bethlehem, of no room at the inn, of the manger round the back. As we wait in these days of Advent for a child to be born, let us remember the places that surprise and shock. And so let us wait in the refugee camps in the Middle East, outside the food banks in this country, on the streets of our cities where people sleep rough. We will wait with them this Advent, and we will watch there for the child. Amen.
The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, which you will find on page 671 on the Pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of God. This is the message which God gave to Isaiah, son of Amos, about Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, "Let us go up to the hill of the Lord, to the temple of Israel's God. He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen. For the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people. He will settle disputes among great nations. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Now, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us.
We continue our worship singing the hymn number 336, Christ is our light, the bright and morning star.
Is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, starting at verse 1, which you will find on page 77 of the Pew Bibles. The preaching of John the Baptist. It was the 15th year of the rule of the Emperor Tiberius. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip was ruler of the territory of Ituria and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler of Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. At that time, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. So John went throughout the whole territory of the River Jordan, preaching, "Turn away from your sins and be baptized, and God will forgive your sins." As it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "Someone is shouting in the desert, 'Get the road ready for the Lord, make a straight path for him to travel.' Every valley must be filled up, every hill and mountain leveled off. The winding roads must be made straight, and the rough paths made smooth. All mankind will see God's salvation." Thanks be to God. This reading of his holy word. Amen.
Now it was lovely earlier on when the little ones came up, three of them, on the second Sunday in Advent and lit the candles for us. And there's a beauty and a peace about that that all of us are able to witness. But it's also good that we remember that candles are not just for little children, they're also for us, for grown-up people. And this next hymn reminds us of that and gives us a chance to think about the children, but to think about children all over the world and adults too. And so we sing the hymn 284, 284, Hope is a Candle.
Thank you.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if I could ask you what you were doing last night. Was it your usual Saturday night routine? And how did you sleep? Now, don't worry, we're not going to spend the next number of minutes listening to people's stories about sleeping and dreaming, or maybe not sleeping and not dreaming. But I asked the question because last night about 8,000 people slept rough in Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh as part of the Sleep in the Park. Now, these were not your average rough sleepers who sleep in doorways, who sleep in park benches, who sleep, frankly, wherever they can find a place for the night in our country. But last night was different. Last night there was a new, different crowd trying to sleep rough in the heart of Edinburgh. These people were in Princes Street Gardens, and every one of them had paid lots of money for the privilege of being there. Now, this was the idea of the boss of the now becoming quite famous Social Bite restaurant and business in Rose Street in Edinburgh. He has a vision. He believes that we can solve the problem of homelessness, and he is working very hard to build a coalition of people who will share his dream, his vision, and end that curse in our society forever. He's quite a guy. Sleep in the Park was designated to raise a lot of money for the cause and also bring a lot of publicity. And so Liam Gallagher, Deacon Blue, and Amy MacDonald entertained those rough sleepers last night, and John Cleese and Bob Geldof were reading them bedtime stories. And interestingly, very interestingly for me and all of you today, one of the people sleeping there last night was the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, Derek Browning. I'm glad all this happened in his year and not mine. Not sure how I would do sleeping rough. But along with Derek, there was a ragtag collection of ministers, elders, and members of congregations of the Church of Scotland and other denominations. And of course, what a night they had for it. Maybe the coldest night of the year so far. It was certainly expected to be that. And we had a text ourselves just quite late last night from two ladies who were sleeping out, and we were thinking about them last night. But you know what? I think I can picture somebody else who would really have enjoyed sleeping rough last night. Yes, really enjoyed it. And he's already featured this morning in the New Testament reading. His name's John, John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is one of the real characters in the New Testament because he was unusual. From this morning's reading, we know that he lived out in the desert. We know from other places in the gospel that he lived out there in very strange clothing, and that he really could seem quite a frightening figure to people who lived in towns and villages. And it was out in the wilderness that he was when he received his call from God. And the text says he then went throughout the whole area preaching and getting people ready for the one who was to come. John came out of that tradition. He was very like the prophets of the Old Testament. Indeed, in our gospel reading, John uses a quote from one of these prophets, Isaiah, to encourage his listeners to pay attention to Jesus of Nazareth, to pay attention to the message of Jesus. My goodness, how we need people like John the Baptist today. In fact, we need them for any generation, every generation. We need people like John because they are the prophets for this and every generation. Why? Because they see the world differently. They walk a different road. And all of us who claim to follow Jesus need these prophets to help us. To help see what's wrong with the world, but most importantly, to change it. The prophets want to change the world. Listen to these words from the Old Testament reading again, from the prophet Isaiah. He will settle disputes among great nations. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Now, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us. If there is one passage from Isaiah that most people might recognize, I would suggest it might be these three verses from near the beginning of Isaiah chapter 2. And it's not hard to see why. Because these few words of a prophet who lived in Jerusalem in the second part of the 8th century BC contain ideas and images that can still inspire people today. Indeed, sometimes when people hear these particular verses, which God revealed to Isaiah all these hundreds of years ago, people can think that these verses were written for us in these early years of the 21st century. Because despite all our advances since the 8th century BC, sometimes it seems that as a human race, we haven't learned anything at all. Right now, we seem to be surrounded by trouble, by wars and the rumor of wars in Syria, in Yemen, in South Sudan, just to name only three. And incredibly, in Libya, human beings who are fleeing as refugees from conflicts in Africa are actually being sold as slaves in an open-air market. In 2017, how on earth could that happen? And in addition, of course, all of us in the world hold our breath these days as the leaders of North Korea and America trade insults like wee boys in a playground. And all of this, as people everywhere are crying out for diplomacy and wisdom, and statesmanship, and peace. So no wonder that these verses from the prophet Isaiah appear to be so contemporary, so inspiring, with these images of settling disputes among great nations and hammering their weapons of war into useful agricultural implements and equipment to tend the plants and the crops and the vineyards and the orchards. Images of hope that the world is desperately needing, where nations don't simply sign a temporary truce, but never again go to war and never prepare for fighting again. Images of people of faith just like us, not marching off to war, but walking together, walking in the light that God gives us. Something remarkable will take place today. In fact, very soon, in Oslo in Norway at 12 noon UK time. The 2017 Nobel Peace Prize will be presented to ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. ICAN is a relatively new organization, but it's grown out of other bodies. But ICAN is different. It's refreshingly different. Why? Because so many of the members of this growing worldwide movement are young people. This is a new generation of people, and they do things differently. Their strategy has been to push forward, not to wait for nuclear weapon states to decide to disarm. Indeed, they copy successful campaigns such as those which led to the ban on landmines, or chemical weapons, or biological weapons. ICAN's successful approach is building a coalition, a global coalition, around the historic treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons. The Nobel Committee have recognized the new approach, and in under an hour now, ICAN will join the list of famous Nobel laureates, like the International Committee of the Red Cross, like Médecins Sans Frontières, I always have difficulty saying that, like Martin Luther King, and like Nelson Mandela. ICAN is being presented with the Nobel Peace Prize today, quote, for its work to draw attention to the catastrophic humanitarian consequences of any use of nuclear weapons and for its groundbreaking efforts to achieve a treaty based on prohibitions of such weapons. And in all of this, we remember today, as a congregation of the Church of Scotland, the Church of Scotland's long support for ridding the world of nuclear weapons. This season of Advent is a beautiful time for us to get ready for the one who is to come. The Creator God in flesh and blood comes to be with us, but not as we expect, not as we imagine. The Creator of all life wriggles into our world in a tiny newborn baby, needing to be cared for and loved. And yet it's so easy for us to miss the moment. It's so easy for us to look in the wrong places. And that's why we need prophets of this and every generation. We need the ones who are given the gift of seeing things differently. They are the ordinary people who do groundbreaking, extraordinary things because they believe in doing the right thing. They often tell us the truth when everybody else cannot seem to hear it or is too frightened to speak it. And so in these wonderful days of Advent, thank God for the prophets and the visionaries, for those who see what most of us cannot see, for they are often the ones who understand that the helpless Christ, the child in the manger, is indeed the one who can bring hope, love, and peace to a tired and weary but still beautiful world. Amen. Let us worship God in the giving of our offering. Our offerings will now be received. Let us pray. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are back home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, so the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, and to make music in the heart. Amen. My friends, just before our final word of prayer, I wanted to say just something about an intimation that caught my attention when it was flagged up to me in advance of the service, and that's to do with Christian Aid. I was fascinated to hear what you do recently as a congregation here in Aberdeen to collect money just very recently for Christian Aid, and we heard the session clerk intimating that. I'm particularly interested because I'm one of the board of Christian Aid. I go regularly down to London for the board meetings of the Christian Aid board that is for Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland, and the Republic of Ireland. And it's one of the most exciting things that I've ever done as a minister. I've been doing it for 6 years now. So it's wonderful to be in a congregation as one of the board of Christian Aid, hearing about what a congregation is doing at the grassroots. So thank you very much for that. And it's particularly exciting this year because the Christmas appeal that we have, Enough for Everyone, is reminding people of just exactly that, that there is enough for everyone. And beautifully this year, and I'm terribly sorry to just gently correct the session clerk. I don't know, I'll be thrown out probably now, but actually it's the UK government that is going to be matching the funding this year. Anything you raise for Christian Aid this year, the UK government will match in funding. So it makes a huge difference when you double an amount of money. And it's going to two places in the world that are desperately in need of help, Burkina Faso and South Sudan. And Rowan Williams, who's the chairman of the board of Christian Aid, was speaking to us very recently about just having returned from South Sudan and how desperately they need our help. So I thought I would take just that little moment to thank you as a congregation on behalf of Christian Aid. It's great to do that sometimes, and say, keep up the good work, don't stop. Our final words of prayer. This is a prayer where we're using words from a 21st century prophet, Desmond Tutu. When I say the words, break into our darkness, I invite you to respond, we long for the gifts that you bring. Let us pray. O God of order, born so quietly into the chaos of a world at war, break into our darkness. We long for the gifts that you bring. God of light, born to guide us out of the darkness of despair and fear, break into our darkness. We long for the gifts that you bring. God of love, God with us, God present within the fiery furnace of all our pain, break into our darkness. We long for the gifts that you bring. God of hope, born to lead us, to lead your people to peace, break into our darkness. We long for the gifts that you bring. God of grace, word incarnate in Africa, in the Middle East, in us and in all the world, break into our darkness. We long for the gifts that you bring. And now hear us in the silence of our own hearts, as at the beginning of this new week, we bring you our own quiet prayer for others and for ourselves. Advent God, break open the shutters of our hearts that we might welcome in the order, light, love, hope, and grace that you bring. Break into our darkness. We long for the gifts that you bring. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, as we go back out into the world, is the hymn number 303. It came upon the midnight clear, hymn 303. Serve the people. Serve God and love the people. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and every day.